Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, this is Matthew Soltysiak and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast. Using my sportscasting background, I speak with a variety of guests and interview key players to gain more insight on what makes this team go. As the Detroit Lions enter a new gritty era, we'll look beyond just the kneecaps when it comes to the analysis. Welcome to another episode. In this episode, we preview the Detroit Lions' second home playoff game at Ford Field. Coming off their 24-23 win over the Rams, the Lions are now hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday at 3 o'clock. We'll take a look at what to expect out of the Bucs, any differences we've seen since their last matchup with the Lions earlier this season, as well as the same from the Lions. Plus, we'll talk about the major storylines surrounding this game. Let's get to it, Lions fans.
Hi, this is Billy Sims, and you're listening to Not the Same Old Lions podcast.
I'm joined, as usual, by Coach Jerry Angers, named Michigan High School Coach of the Year, as well as Coach of the Week by the Detroit Lions. He's also mentored numerous players to the college level and some all the way to the NFL. It's not just good to have you here, Coach. It's great to have you here.
No doubt. I think last week I was going to predict we were going to have another show, but I left it alone. But man, am I happy we're having another show.
As am I, and that's why it's so great to be here. And as we get into it, a reminder to listeners, please hit that subscribe or like button. It's helping us build momentum. Okay, Coach, before we get to Tampa, let's wrap up that Rams game where we beat them 24-23 just a little bit more with a few final thoughts. I want to first talk about the crowd because that's something you and I got to see in Week 18. We wondered what it would be like for the playoff game. And, Coach, I got to tell you, the crowd was amazing. People rarely got out of their seats to go get food. The lines were long for food and beverage before the game and during the quarter breaks, but not during the plays. People were hardly moving. And of course, I'm sure you know the crowd hit that decibel record, 133.8, setting a new record at Ford Field. And Coach, you would have been so proud because you could probably hear it on TV. It was a smart crowd. They got loud when the Lions were on defense, and they were quiet on offense.
Oh, yeah. They were talking about it. It was funny watching the NFL channel. I remember which one I was watching for pregame, and they were talking about an hour and a half before game time, three quarters of the stadium was full. And they said they've never seen anything like it, and they were ruckus and loud and ready to go. And, I mean – yeah, you could hear it every time. And you could see it, too. You could see the communication. You could see, you know, when they show the close-ups on Stafford in the huddle, you could see that he was screaming. You know, he could see it in his face that he had to yell to get his play calls in. So nothing better than that. I think they call that the 12th man out in Seattle. We'll have to come up with something for our guys.
Yeah, I like that idea. What will our line be? Because obviously we're not going to just copy somebody else's line, but there's definitely something to labeling what that is because it played a big role in this game. I mean, that crowd noise caused the Rams to take 2 second half timeouts, and that played a big role in us just being able to have three victory formations right there.
Yeah, so for sure. Yeah, anytime you can get somebody to eat up a couple – timeouts, and you saw what happened because of it. So it was definitely, as Dan Campbell said, was a big part of the victory.
Now, I want to go back to a storyline that has surrounded this entire trade of Stafford versus Goff for a minute. Because if you go back, Sean McVay said they needed to trade for Matthew Stafford because Goff could not win them the Super Bowl. And we know quarterbacks get too much credit, too much blame. So then what happened was Jared Goff came to Detroit. He was cast off. He was thrown out or whatnot. And then he had to go to the team that Stafford left. And if we want to stay with this narrative that Sean McVay has created, well, then I'm going to just continue it and say that Jared Goff did with the Lions what Matthew Stafford couldn't do. They won the division and they won a playoff game. And Jared Goff needs to get a lot of credit for that. And again, if you're going to go with that Stafford narrative that he was the difference maker for the Rams, well, Goff got the job done in Detroit within 3 years when Stafford couldn't do it in Detroit for about 11 or 12. Now, here's the thing. We know there's so many moving parts and so many other things to it. I'm putting this out there because I want the disrespect of Jared Goff to stop. That's why.
Yeah. Well, I totally agree on that. You know, I mean, Jared Goff is look what the players are with him. Look at him cheering his name when he came in. Look what he's done for us. Look at his numbers. Don't look at watch the game. Look at what's going on within a game. The throw he makes. He makes a mistake and he realizes it and he learns from it. I mean, you're right. Hey, I love Matthew Stafford. I'm rooting for him every game next year. And I hope he has a good golf game right now.
I hear you. And, you know, I'm a big Matthew Stafford fan as well. And we'll root for him next year when he's playing other teams other than us. But you know what? Jared Goff's our quarterback. And coach, I want to talk about something else. This game was a big moment. And Jared Goff stepped up in this moment. And I think this is something I want you to speak to from a coach's perspective, because there's talent out there in this world. And then there's that thing of, how does said talent perform when the moment is there, when the pressure is on? I mean, if we look at this game, you could argue Stafford was playing with house money, as were the Rams. No one thought they'd be there at the beginning of the year. Stafford already won his Super Bowl. They were the underdog on the road, even though they were a hot team. So all the pressure was on Detroit. And you saw the Lions, that's probably the most pressure their team has had. Maybe since that game against Dallas in 2014, or maybe back in 1993. And so the Lions were the team with something to prove, and Jared Goff was the person on the field with the most to prove, and he showed up. And so what does that say about a person, and how important is that element above just the talent aspect alone, and how rare can that be?
Well, it's in his mind the whole time. I mean, all last week they talked about it's us. It's not me against the Rams. It's not me against McVay. But it's in his mind. It's in his head. It's in the back of his mind. He's thinking about it. He's trying to stay away from it. He's trying to say he's thinking of other things. He comes out. Here's the thing is he comes out and goes 14 for 14 with all the pressure in the world on him and just showed us. You know, we used to call it the it. He's got the it factor. The guy's got the it factor. But start loving him, man. I mean, I'm telling you right now, and I think we are, and I think more people are, and are again. We always have the fans out there that, you know, we should have scored one more point, or we should have had one more touchdown and stuff like that. But this guy's got something. He's a great leader. He makes plays, and he learns from his mistakes. And he's just a team player. There's nothing about him would make you want him not to be your starting quarterback from a coaching standpoint. And from a player standpoint, there's nothing about him that I would not want him to be around my family or at my house or out to lunch or out to breakfast or out to dinner. I love the dude. Keep playing what you're doing. Get your contract, stay here, and don't leave our facility until you're done until you're ready to retire, because you're going to win a ton of football games for us, Jared Goff.
I agree with that, coach, so much. And again, that it factor, those things you talk about, the character of the player, those are the things that I think are part of that whole grit mantra the team has. And that's what matters when things don't go perfect. And we've seen things not go perfect. That Chicago Bears game was a perfect example of that. There was no room for error, and he didn't fold under the pressure, and he didn't blow up at his teammates on the sideline. And you know, the last final thought was the end of the game. Dan Campbell had two game balls, and one was for Brad Holmes. Amazing job by the GM. And the other one was for Jared Goff. And Campbell goes, Jared, you're good enough for Detroit. And that was awesome.
Love it. Love it. It's great stuff.
So, you know, I think the offensive line always deserves a lot of credit. They deserve a ton of credit. We don't often say their names enough. But, you know, when you've got Decker, Jackson, Ragnow, Sewell, and Graham, I mean, those guys played a game. Their pass defense especially was really good, and that should be commended. Any thoughts on the offensive line?
Well, I'm going to shout out to Farley, our offensive line coach. Dude, watching it from TV, on the TV, seeing the schemes that he did to keep Aaron Donald out of our backfield, giving our guys opportunities to go one-on-one at sometimes, other times triple-teaming Aaron Donald, other times double-teaming him, other times single-blocking him. I mean, you know, again, we have – it's huge when they can scheme it that way. And, I mean, there was – I'm watching plays where there's just these massive wide-open holes, you know, gaps for guys to shoot in because we're triple-teaming Aaron Donald or double-teaming them, and they're just locked on everybody. And our running backs did a great job blocking. I mean, it's just the whole thing that, again, what's our record? I saw some stats today about when they're together, it's unbelievable. And let's just stay healthy and keep doing what we're doing. But, hey, games are won in the trenches, and we won that trench.
That is true. And, yes, great shout-out to that coach. And let's stay with the coaching right now. This is a perfect example of talking about why Dan Campbell's the man. And why he's our coach. I said this in the last show that Campbell going for it on 4th and 1 from the 2-yard line was huge. And throwing it to Laporta as well, a gutsy call versus settling for a field goal. People often criticize Campbell for his aggressiveness. And they say, oh, this cost the Lions the game. I don't think that happens all the time. I think if the aggressiveness works, it wins them the game. And if it doesn't, yes, it could cost them the game. It's that thing where if the play works, you're a genius. And if it doesn't, people are going to criticize you. But Campbell made a big, crucial play right there, a decision. And those points were hard to come by in the second half. If they don't get that right there, then that can change the whole narrative of what we're talking about in the second half of this football game.
Oh, there's no doubt. And shout out to the formation. I don't know if you looked at it, broke it down. We had 22 personnel on. We had Kimbo was on there. Freaking St. Brown, J-Mo, Gibbs weren't even on the field. And we used that because they knew, again, that goes back to coaches breaking down film and saying, this is what they're going to do in this personnel. And then that the blocking scheme up front, to give Goff all that time to get Laporta open on a extremely long route. And then again, back to Jared Goff, he threw a freaking strike. And again, go for two when you want to fake it, when you want to go for it on 4th and 1, when you want to, because you know what? We're going to win the percentages. And it's all about analytics right now. And God bless Dan Campbell and his staff, because, and those players making plays. They are so much fun to watch. I'm excited thinking about that stuff.
No, you're right. And you know what? The players buy into it and they get that much more ready for it. And this is why Campbell, again, I do believe he is underappreciated by many, the geniusness of his coaching. Another big one was it was 4th down and 5, and the Rams could have attempted a 52-yard field goal. They had lost a yard on the play on 3rd and 4. But Campbell took the holding penalty to knock them out of field goal range. That is a gutsy call, and that's trusting your defense. And it worked. It stopped them. But then the next thing is Sean McVay punted the ball with 4 minutes to go. Dan Campbell would not have punted that ball. He would have gone for it on 4th and 15. And you know what? That's why I love our coach, because he would have gone for it. He learned his lesson, he said, in Minnesota last year on the road. You keep the chance to win alive. And when they punted, they were hoping they could stop us, but they never got the ball back. So big shout out to Campbell for taking that gutsy call, because even the announcers were like, ooh, this is a tough decision. And Campbell did it, and the Lions responded.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? There's two things. First of all, my phone was blowing up when we took that call from my ex-players. Coach, would you have done that? Coach, shouldn't we have? But Dan Campbell plays to win. Dan Campbell's not going to say, we're going to give up 3 here and be down 1. Dan Campbell and his staff, and I don't want to say Dan, but, you know, say that, no, we're going to put them out. we're going to put them out of field goal range. Our defense, because it's a three-phase game, is going to get their job done and do exactly what they do. And we're going to get them to punt the ball. And guess what? If they go for it, we're going to stop them anyways, because it's fourth and 14 or whatever. And so that was huge on that part. And again, that's because that is his MO. Now let's go over to the McVay side, who I listened to his press conference today or yesterday about how, oh, maybe I should have done this, or God, I should have done that, or maybe I should have used the timeout, or maybe this is a guy that has that thinks he's going to outcoach and outdo everybody. And so he's always in a thought process, always thinking. Dan Campbell walks in with a game plan and he runs it. And he doesn't care where it's at or what it's doing or where it's at. Those are huge things. You think about that. Dan Campbell would have never punted that ball. Dan Campbell, you know what, he took the pen. And those are just from a coaching standpoint, from a fan standpoint, looking at it going, all just genius stuff, all just unbelievable calls in certain situations. Do they have to work right? Yeah, sometimes luck works. You're not going to win all your games. And some you're not going to blow people out, but a lot of times you got to get lucky, or luck has to be on our side, and it was on our side.
It was. And you know what? It also keeps the other team guessing, because they're just that much more unsure of what you're going to do. And you know, that defense, they made that stop. And as I mentioned in the last episode with James, three red zone trips by the Rams, three field goals by the Rams. Guys, commend the heck out of that defense. They got the job done. Coach, we're on to round two.
Yes.
The NFC North champs are facing the old NFC Central rival, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's almost fitting that they had those old creamsicles back earlier this year when we were down in Tampa. Now, Coach, while we were celebrating, Coach Campbell said, that's not what the team is doing right now.
You know, I'm so much into the mode now, and I want us thinking it's the next one. And we got three left. And we got to go get this one right now. And so, you know, I think it's let's do everything we can to put a good game plan together. These guys where they can digest, be ready to go, good practice, and let's go get this one. And then, man, then we got to gear up for the next one. So I think it's very much business as usual. You know, I think it's too early to start getting there. I think that's where you got to be careful. You get complacent. I think that's great for everybody to feel good and love where we're at. But for us, we can't. We got to just stay on the tracks here.
Coach, that's the difference, right? I mean, you and I, we talk about this, but we get to enjoy it as a fan as well as analyzing it. But the team's got a job to do. Coach Campbell talked about that. Just remind the fans, talk about when do you get to enjoy these moments when you're on a playoff run? Because you've been in these types of situations.
He's said it before, and it, you basically after the season, you go back and reflect on it, or you talk about it for 4 or 5 years. Like I talk about that Montague game all the time. But you know, the biggest thing is how great is that win? If you turn around and lay an egg and don't play your best ball game, this week against Tampa Bay. And so you have to, you know, you have to enjoy it. You have to bask and you go, oh my God, we made plays. I'm like, oh man, we got to work on this. And I think those are the things that he's instilled in himself, his staff, his players, that, you know, we're not done yet. You know, the joy of victory is so great where the loss would maybe bring us to a end of our season and go, we left it short, man. And he's going to have those guys leave everything out on the field. You know, if we get outplayed, we get outplayed, you know. And, you know, I did it. I did the same thing. You know, I'll go back to that Montague game as a coach. You know, it was a bus ride home. We came back from two down with 7:23 left, put in overtime one to go to state finals. I enjoyed that whole bus ride home. And when I got home, though, I was on the horn and I was on tape right away getting ready because we're going to state finals. And so that's what Dan Campbell's instilled in us, guys. And they're professionals. They're going to do it. And when this is all over and said and done sometime in February, you know, late, whatever, then they can enjoy it, you know. And then they're still enjoying it, but it's still, we got work to do, boys. That's over with. Let's move on.
That makes a lot of sense. So let's start talking about how Tampa is different from the last time we faced them. And we'll start with Coach Campbell.
There's a lot of similarities. They, you know, they're still doing a lot of what they've done. You know, Todd's defense, first of all, I mean, he's been there for a number of years now, and they've got a number of guys on that defense you know, they've been together. And so it's evolved so much, you know. He's got these things that they believe in, that they're pretty good at, the disguises, the pressure. And so you're going to see that no matter what. It's just a maybe a different wrinkle to it, but they're really good at all of that, you know. So they have so many things about themselves that he's not going to go away from. Now, a lot of that is the fact that you can't always see everything. It's not easy to see. There is a lot of disguise. There is a lot of movement. But it's like I said before, this is a better team than when we faced them. They're playing better football. But we're better too. So, you know, and that's the way it should be. Here we go, man. We're in the divisional against an opponent that only improved all year, and so did we.
Coach, the Bucs were 3-1 when Detroit went there in week 6. The Lions were 4-1. The Lions won that game 20-6. Now, as Coach Campbell said, both teams are better now. The Lions have some healthier players. This is going to be a different game for many different reasons. So how do you see Tampa as being different now than they were as that team that we faced in week 6 down in Florida?
Well, they're healthy now. You know, their running back's back. Whites, I think he was just coming off an injury or something like that. It makes a big difference. They're starting to click. They got all those games under Baker Mayfield leading them, which, you know, we talked about this. I looked at our old notes from the first time we played them. You know, people rally around that guy because he gets knocked down, he gets back up. You know, Bowles defense is flying around. You know, they got great receiving core. We had mentioned the tight end. Remember, I talked about that back then. Well, look at the game he had against Philadelphia. And so, and we beat them 20-6. Baker Mayfield, all he's talking about is the missed throws that he missed on against us. So those are all things that are going to be intangibles that are going to come into this game that we as a team have to worry about, because they already know what we're all about. We kind of know what they're about. Same thing. You know, I mean, it's been a long since the last time we played them, but you still have that film to go back on them. The difference is we're healthy. And the difference is they're healthy. But we, you know, again, we talked about that. It was our running back core. We had Monty went down and Gibbs didn't play. You know, J-Mo had a good catch. St. Brown had the big run. So it's you know, there's going to be a little bit more. And that'll take place on that rematch, revenge. I know they're calling revenge because the week before that, Philadelphia put 201 yards on them rushing, and they came out and you know, that was their MO to stop us. Well, good luck. They're going to have to figure out how they're going to stop us. And we got to figure out how we can stop Baker and his Hail Mary passes.
Well, that's the thing. The Bucs are winners of 5 of their last 6 games. That includes wins over the Packers and Jaguars. And mm-hmm. They only gave up more than 20 points, I think, twice during that stretch. The first half of the season is the first half of the season that Baker's playing in that offense. So he has that many more games. He's that much more familiar. Yep. He can think just a little bit less and react a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And their defense played great against Philadelphia in round 1. So they've got confidence. They are a determined team, and they're a division winner. And so they're coming into Detroit, and it's going to be a battle. Now, what do we expect out of Tampa? Well, their offense averaged about 20 points a game, which isn't bad. The Lions averaged about 27. The thing that stuck out to me is the running game by Tampa is not very good. They averaged 88 yards a game for the season, but they did get 119 against Philly. So that'll be interesting to watch that running game. And Rashad White, you know, he is a receiving threat out of the backfield. He had 64 catches on 70 targets. So even if he's not running, you might see them try and do what the Rams did a couple times, which is just some short passes like that to try and be an extension of the running game.
Right. Oh, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And that's one of the biggest things. And then, you know, they have to establish that running game as well as those short pass games to you know, bring some guys down in the box so that they can open it up with Evans and Godwin. And I think Odd's going to be a big factor for him too. I think they're going to use the tight end more like they did against Philadelphia's defense.
Yeah, I think, again, with Baker being there longer and having more games and people being healthier, that defense is going to have a lot of work to do. And so I know Campbell's confident that they can get the job done, and we saw them get the job done against the Rams. Looking at the Bucs defense, their rush defense is still solid. You know, they held Pro Bowl running back DeAndre Swift and company to just 42 yards rushing last week. And so that has been their bread and butter. Now, their pass defense was only 29th in the league this year. That being said, they only average giving up 19 points a game. So that's pretty good. So the defense will be a test for the Lions, as it was the first time we played. But the Lions are average 135 yards rushing on the ground. So that's going to be a great battle to watch.
Oh, for sure. And Bowles, you know, he's a head coach, but he's a D-minded guy. That's where he came from. That's his MO. And so, you know, he's bringing it on every occasion. You know, last week, Hurts doesn't play well under pressure, so they're going to blitz him. You know, Goff supposedly doesn't play well under pressure, so they're going to blitz him. And, you know, the big thing I think is we didn't rush well against them. We had running back problems in that game, but our offensive line wasn't together in that game either. Okay. Right.
Jonah Jackson was out.
Yeah. I think Jonah Jackson was out. So, and Vita, I think, but whatever, anyway, so I think those are the big things, you know, those are going to be, our biggest concern is keeping their big pass plays in front of us. Like Dan Campbell said at halftime, because we gave up two big plays last week. We've been giving up those big plays. And so, you know, I've been watching the NFL channels today and yesterday, and it's the same thing about all Lions defense. Their pass defense is terrible. They give up a lot of yards. But I can't remember the girl's name, but she said. But you know what? They're not giving up touchdowns in the red zone. They're playing almost a bend, don't break defense. And then they lock and load when they get inside the red zone and make people kick field goals. So you know what? If we score touchdowns and they kick field goals, we win football games. We just saw that 24-23.
That's exactly right. The defense did a great job. As far as the offense goes, you know, again, we all think the Lions are going to want to run the ball more. And Campbell even said it in his press conference, the Lions cannot throw it 50 times. So he talked about the need for balance. And we do, as we talked about, we have a healthier backfield than last time. And so that's going to help. But the other thing Campbell mentioned is the pass catchers are going to be just as important in this game. And I mean, those pass catchers were indispensable the first time we played because of our running game depth issues that game. And Goff and the receiver stepped up. So I think you're going to see the focus on trying to get both elements of the game going so that we're not one-dimensional.
No, for sure. And again, you know, play action passes, we have to have that. You know, we came out slinging the ball against the Rams and, you know, but we kind of mixed in, splashed in those run plays in there and stuff like that. So I think that's what you're going to see. It'll be nice that Laporta's got another week on that knee. And so those are big things for us. But again, we, you know, control the clock and don't give up splash plays on defense. And we should be in pretty good shape.
All right. Well, let's transition to just some major storylines or big things going on. We've talked about Jared Goff probably ad nauseum. I just want to bring up that the crowd chanting Jared Goff before the game. I mean, there was a beat writer who wrote, in 15 years, the only name he's ever heard chanted is Barry in that stadium. And so that was phenomenal. And I mean, remember the preseason? Remember the offseason? Remember people wanted that other guy? And this guy is good enough for Detroit. This guy fits us. And it felt so good to see the embracement there from the crowd.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like Dan Campbell said the other day, it's too late. Don't jump on the bandwagon. It's full. I love it. I just love that stuff. You know, that's what it's all about.
That's awesome. I hadn't heard that. And that's a great line. Coach, here's a storyline, but it's a personal storyline, but it fits the team. I didn't tell you this, but I had tickets to Dallas. I had a flight to Dallas. I had it all booked. And guess what? I got to cancel them because we all know we're at Ford Field this weekend. And so big storyline for me, which then brings us to what do we expect out of Ford Field?
Well, I think the biggest thing is they are going to try to go above and beyond what they just did. You know, I mean, CJ Gardner Ducey said that he's been in louder home crowds. He probably hasn't. Yeah, he said that at the end. Oh, no, man, I've been in louder clubs. That's what he said. So part of me, that's him going, I'm going to say this because it's going to rile them up to get even louder. And so, again, it's going to be another one of those environments that people are going to talk about forever. You know, the Rams game last week, they're going to try it out, do this week, and you know, get another W to play another week. So I just love it that they're taking their part in it, being a part of the team, and of course Dan Campbell and the players are acknowledging it all the time that it is a team game, man. It's not about just the players and the coaches. It's the players, coaches, janitors, administration, fans, bus drivers, whatever. And so that's what's so cool about what's going on right now is everybody's embracing it. And we have one large Detroit Lions football team. So,
Coach, you're right. That crowd was so amazing. I have never experienced anything like that. They said we hit 133.8 decibels, I think. And that broke the record at Ford Field that we had set during that week two home opener. And I got to say, that was one of the greatest football experiences of my life with that crowd atmosphere. And so you're right. We're going to hear it and see it again. And I expect, like you said, that we're just as loud, just as rambunctious, and we're creating a reputation now that Ford Field's a place you don't want to have to go play.
Unless you're on the Lions team.
Exactly. You don't want to have to go there if you're a road team.
Yeah. Hey, one quick thing too, to laugh about it. Something off this that I read that some guys on Twitter were laughing because they were texting back and forth to each other, and they were about the win, and they were laughing at how funny that is, because the last time the Lions won in a playoff game, we didn't have text availability. That's just good stuff, man.
That puts it in perspective, doesn't it? That really does. Wow. Yep.
Oh, it's great, man.
Coach, you know, another thing we should talk about here are ticket prices for a minute, because about a year ago, you and I started talking about this around March. I saw the trend with the season tickets not being available. They were starting to dwindle. And even before the season started, I think it was even before training camp, I said, if the Lions made a Super Bowl, these would be the most expensive Super Bowl tickets ever. And people said, oh, yeah, those would probably be kind of expensive and stuff. And I said, well, think about the reasons why. And, Coach, we just saw the most expensive wild card playoff tickets ever. We are currently looking at the most expensive divisional playoff tickets ever. You know how expensive these tickets are? For the same price of a Lions average ticket, you could go to all the other three games this weekend combined if you could get transportation there between them. Or, if that's not good enough, you could go to all the rest of the Detroit Pistons home games for the same price.
Crazy. That's just crazy. You know, it's I got to love it. I already text my buddies. I'm thinking about flying to Baltimore so I could watch the Ravens play. It's cheaper to fly. Just kidding. But it is. And it's kind of cool because you always want, we'll bring Taylor Swift into this. How expensive are Taylor Swift tickets? Because everybody wants to see her. And so that tells us that the Lions, I should have used Eminem instead of Taylor Swift.
Good. And you know what? You talked about people wanting to see us. The viewership for that game this past weekend was, I believe, the biggest primetime viewership they have seen for a Lions game, 31.9 million viewers on NBC stations. And so that set a record.
Yep. So that's awesome. You know, and again, there you go. We got the stands full, and we got people in front of their TV. So it doesn't get any better than that.
And that record was the most watched primetime game since the Super Bowl last year. So that was great.
That is totally awesome.
All right, Coach, it's that time. Let's hit some prediction stuff before we get out of here. I'm going to predict that the Lions have to do all phases, and they have all phases of this team are vital for the win. We saw defense play a big role, offense play a role, and we saw special teams play a key role in that win. I think that's one thing I'm going to predict in this game, that all three are going to have a vital part.
I totally agree with you on that. I'm not all three phases. Foxy, you know, he changes the field. He also changed the field because they have to play soft on punt team because they're worried about us faking it. So again, that comes in there. So he put a look at the kick we got out of that one, signing Badge, you know, late at the end of the year and cutting Riley. And so those are big things. And like you say, and like Coach Campbell says, all three phases have to play at the top. It's that time of the year. You don't have to be perfect, but you have to have your best game at all three phases. And that's what we have to do. And I think we're going to obtain that and get the over on one of them so much more over on the other one, where the other ones that don't win are going to stay even. So three phases, let's go.
Awesome. I also think Jared Goff is going to be the key to this offense. Again, it's going to be very important, his game. And maybe we'll see a splash play from J-Mo. I think that could happen. On the defensive side of the ball, I think a key is limiting those big plays. You know, some very close explosives the last time we played Tampa that were just near misses. And if the Bucs hit those, that would change things a lot. So I'm going to predict that we're going to have to limit those to be successful.
Yep, that's a good call on that one. And Vildor, on a great coverage, is going to knock that one down instead of it going through his fingertips for a touchdown. I'm going to predict that one too.
Awesome. Hey, Coach, before we get out of here, I want to point something out here. When people have anniversaries, they do something, they celebrate and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I want to point out that January 21st, which will actually be this coming Sunday, is going to be the one-year anniversary to the date of Not the Same Old Lions podcast. That was the very first show I recorded and published. And then the following week, you and I did a show together. And so hitting the one-year mark, our reach, we've had downloads in 35 different countries, my friend. And that's awesome. Pretty incredible. I want to say a big, big thank you for everybody out there that's been listening. And I really hope that we get to celebrate the one-year anniversary in style with a Detroit Lions victory.
That's a good call. Happy anniversary and happy victory.
Jerry, as usual, great talking Lions. I can't wait for Sunday afternoon.
For sure. Have a great week and go Lions.
Coach, there's a season ticket holder named Kevin, who I was talking to at the game last week, and he listens to the show. And Kevin, reach out. I want to get in touch with you. I got a couple things I want to talk with you about. And thank you so much for tuning in, folks. You can find all the episodes at notthesameoldlions.com. If you're listening on YouTube, please hit that like button. While you're at it, tell your friends about the show, and please subscribe regardless of your listening platform. Until next time, stay gritty, my friends.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.